You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
In the heart of what was once the rugged, unyielding Republic of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott stands exposed as a willing participant in the quiet handover of the Lone Star State.
As long as I'm governor of this great state, Texas will be a land for the Indian community, a land for
Abbott's recent directive freezing new H-1B petitions for state agencies and universities now rings hollow.
Governor Abbott made the announcement directing all public universities and state agencies to freeze new H-1B visa applications. Governor Abbott was on the Mark Davis radio show talking about his plan.
What job is it in our public schools in the state of Texas that these H-1B visas personnel are fulfilling that we can't fulfill here in our own public schools? I mean, those are exactly the types of questions that we're looking at.
A superficial gesture after years of courting the very demographic overhaul now transforming Texas suburbs into Little India.
Now, I wanted to come to this area because, as you guys can see behind me, this is a residential area, and you have this very large, very intricate temple that is in this location where you quite frankly would not expect it. And one of the first things I saw when we got here was a huge pile of shoes outside because you cannot wear shoes inside the temple. So you have a lot of people that are walking around this area barefoot. And I actually went inside myself because I wanted to go check it out. And when you get inside, you see people worshiping multiple deities. And the one that did stick out to me was the area where people were going to pray for blessings of health and also for work visas. Now, we're in Frisco, Texas, and going back to that changing demographic, back in 2010, you had about 10% Asian or Indian population in this area. That has since surged to over 30%, and on top of that, Texans telling me as well that some of these school districts now primarily are made up of demographically Asian students. So this is one of the ways that the culture is changing up here. You have multiple Hindu temples all over the DFW area.
Multiple H-1B-linked companies registered to single addresses have funneled donations to Frisco, Texas's first Indian mayor.
Take a look at this room of full of concerned citizens. They want you to answer questions about why some of the mayor's biggest donors are Indians that don't live in Frisco. Is it because the mayor's real estate business, or is he being bought out to ignore an Indian takeover? Why are people with multiple H-1B companies registered to one address donating to Frisco's first Indian mayor? We know Fortune 100 companies are employing foreigners on H-1B visas, but why are Indians in Frisco opening up their own businesses tied to H-1B? It's not a coincidence that Frisco's Indian population exploded 4,510% and there's potential visa fraud here.
The H-1B program landed in Texas with the 1990 Immigration Act, sold as a narrow fix for specialized skill shortages. What followed was a flood, especially from India, turning tech corridors and booming suburbs into outposts of chain migration and wage arbitrage.
I came here on H-1B 2004. Everybody was Americans. But the fast forward, now you don't see any Americans.
Where are you from?
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad. Hyderabad.
I'm from India. I'm
from India.
Where in India? Hyderabad?
Why do you think Frisco became such a big hub for Indians?
They have their own community here. Okay.
No, it's not like that.
Not like that here in Frisco?
No.
Motherland India or Texas, USA? Oh,
obviously, Motherland India.
Obviously, Motherland India.
Hyderabad, of course.
Really? Did you come here on H-1B?
Yeah. I'm on H-1B.
H-1B?
Yeah.
You're H-1B?
Yeah.
Working here at 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
We need more or less H-1B people here?
We need a lot less. I have two master's degrees. I was making over $100,000 a year. They said, you're too expensive. We're going to hire Indians.
Now in looking into some of these companies, I think there may be more than meets the eye. Why not check in and see what we find? This one is Tech Bits on the LCA. We've got two 2025 workers on site. I don't think anyone is here. At Tech Bits.
This is colonization. This isn't immigration. The Indian loyalty remains overseas. Cultural enclaves form parallel economies, and American families get priced out or pushed aside. This isn't stewardship. It's selling Texas out. While private sector H-1B abuse rolls on unchecked, the governor's cozy relationship with the Indian community betrays the very people who built Texas. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah, that's the problem, is it's not just the Somalis and the rest of it. The system, and Republicans are just as much involved at many levels, set it up to come here, get all this free stuff, and then these groups use this and they act as clans, as gangs, and take over. It's really happening. You know, you talk a lot about that. Get into farming. Get into why it's so dark. People don't know how to even ride a bicycle on average anymore, or get away from their iPhones, much less skin a buck around a trot line. But you're optimistic, I know, in some ways, but this is an insane time to be alive. AI data centers, they get all the energy they want, but humans can't drive a car. It's bad for the earth. I mean, this is really a very draconian system. What do you think? Who's at the top of the wizardry? Who's at the top of the New World Order? What is their goal that they were left unchecked?
The higher you go up in the wizard pyramid, the more hollowed out, vacated, and pathetic they get. So, and what you were talking about, you know, what's coming down the pipe during COVID, instead of do not comply, I was always saying do not rely, because the thing that the wizard always relies on is you needing them for something. And that's how, you know, we saw that in Gaza, like what happens when a group of people is completely reliant on another group that doesn't like them for their water, their food, and everything. And so the key is to not allow yourself to get to that point. And it starts very simply, where that's why I have Ladle TV and a well and I grow my own food, is because I realized that the only thing they have over you is, fine, then you don't get to use PayPal, then you don't get to be on Twitter, then you don't get to come to our fun sodomy parties. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. I don't want to go to any of your things. And so it can be tiring. It can get intense, but it's a lot more exhausting to live in cognitive dissonance and live a lie and just always be a little nervous and scared that the person driving the car that you rely on hates you, you know?
And by the way, memory serves, I've known you like at least 10 years. You weren't into farming. You just had this idea. Now you've gotten pretty good at it and you've expanded, and you, that looks like a horrible office you have there. A terrible place to live right there. That's not blue screen, folks. That's very beautiful. Tell radio listeners where you're at right now.
Yeah, I'm in North Idaho. This is, we crowdfunded a campground during COVID so that we could have meetups and get-togethers and weddings and stuff like that. So I'm just here for the day. I thought it'd be a nice place to talk to you with. And then my farm is about an hour south, where we have chickens and goats and cows and alpacas. And I have four sons. And it's funny, like, I made labor. You know, there's this labor shortage, and I made labor with my penis.
And you didn't go buy a tractor or a mule. You just made it with your wife.
Exactly. I made it the old-fashioned way. That's really fun and exciting. So, you know, I think the future is bright and horrifying. It just all depends on whether or not you're externalizing authority or not. I mean, I see people waiting for someone else to fix their problems, and it's not coming. It's only going to get more insane, you know, and whenever people are promising utopia, it's not, you know. And so I see this promise of AI, you know, making it so everybody, no one has to work again, and everyone's has everything they ever want. That's not how the world actually works.
Congressman Burchett, I don't think he's a bad guy, Tim Burchett, but he and all these others say, we've been given classified briefings. There's four types of aliens here on the earth. We're communicating with them. There's hidden crafts. It needs to come out. It would totally scare you if you knew what's going on. What do you think this giant alien rollout is about?
I don't know, man. I think aliens are more on a demonic level, and I think they hop into people's... I think the more someone's vacated by trauma and wizardry, the more they get influenced by entities that I think is what a quote-unquote alien is. I don't think there's little guys in saucers anywhere, but that's just my personal opinion. I can't prove it isn't true. I just, you know, that isn't the world I've seen. I've never met one, and I've met a lot of strange.
But that's what I'm saying people. Is, and I do think it's interdimensional. And I'm probably the first to say that on a big platform years ago, decades ago. But now Congress is saying that, although they come here interdimensionally, and they now have a confirmed DMT test, private firms, government, where people are having the same DMT hallucinations at the same time, the laser test, where you see the code of the matrix. I mean, there is a lot of wild stuff happening, and regardless, there's about to be a lot of disclosure, but I think a lot of fake disclosure mixed in with it.
Yeah, I think it's fake disclosure. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Jerry Marzinski, but he's a prison psychiatrist who was dealing with schizophrenia, schizophrenics in prison, and he was the only guy to ask them what the voices were saying. And I think they based that movie Nefarious on him. Like, I had him on my show once. You should have him on. He's amazing. But he's, like, asking these prisoners, like, what are the voices saying? And it was, like, lining up. You know, like, there'd be a voice in his head, like, there's a cigarette in the dumpster. There's a cigarette in the dumpster. You know, the guard will come in 30 seconds, stab him, and get the cigarette. And it's like, and it would be real. And so I think a lot of times what people call schizophrenia or some of these mental illnesses are they're like, you know, their tuning fork is a little tweaked so that they're kind of picking up on these other realms, you know?
Oh, that's 100% what it is. And when you study black magic and all the ancient religions and cults, they were doing bad things that these entities wanted them to do, then they would give them some advanced knowledge.
Yeah, totally. But they're liars too. It's like, that's what Jerry would figure out. They like the higher echelons of these demons would give their victims something that would profit them in this world, like some kind of technology or information that would get them short-term money. But long-term, they hate people, you know, and they want your destruction. It never ends well, but they'll juice you up in order to try and get people to humiliate themselves. And they love trauma because, you know, an embodied man or woman, like someone that has coherence, like they think, they say, and they do the same thing. Demons have a hard time getting in there. That's why they love needles and sodomy and all this stuff. They like penetration and trauma.
There's no doubt that there's an awakening that good and evil exist. I mean, you see it everywhere. And the controlled church is not going to be able to block that. What do you think about, I mean, do you think there's a great awakening happening?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a quickening. Like the lies to the revelation is faster and faster and faster. It's almost like birthing pains that a woman goes through. And that it's an exciting time to be alive. But if people don't take their own authority, they'll get really crushed. I mean, I know I can be optimistic, but if people don't say like, it's, you know, it's on me, I'm not, I don't have a grievance. I don't need anything from anybody else. I forgive people, you know, and that doesn't mean you have to like people or have them in your life, but you just don't have a grievance toward them. If people don't do that, you know, there's AI pods, people will be paying money to die. You know, it's like, it's going to get dark out there.
Yeah. You were criticizing Israel like 10 years ago when it wasn't popular and it wasn't safe to do. I've noticed, I watched your show some. You've kind of gotten away from that, but I've heard you say it's because it's already, everybody else is already doing it. Plus, there is this thing where all these other low IQ people come in and they then just ascribe everything to it, and it just becomes like a mindless one-up thing. Or I'm trying to quantify what I've heard you say. Where are you on the whole situation with Israel? Because, I mean, I never thought Israel ran everything, but now it's trying to run our foreign policy and it's openly trying to censor us and coming after me. And it seems to get more power the more opposite. Like Iran gets more power the more they get attacked. It seems like Netanyahu knows what he's maneuvered Israel into. And where do you see that going?
I mean, Israel is Hogwarts for wizards. I mean, that place is just a spell machine. But yeah, I mean, my thing forever has been I want people to be able to make their own choices. And when people weren't aware of AIPAC or the Sackler family or Teva Pharmaceuticals or Israel's role in the government or quote-unquote Jewish liability shields, the permanent victim stuff, I was trying to wake people up to that. I wasn't trying to get people to blame their problems on Jews or Israel. You know, it's because it's kind of like America. It almost makes us feel it makes it us seem like we're the child and Israel's the father, you know, and they're not. And so I don't blame Israel for anything. I just wanted people to be aware of that. And that's why I got so much backlash, because as I said earlier, the wizard requires you to not know that there's not really a rabbit in the hat. And so I think what we're seeing out of the Israelis and the Zionist stuff is a panic, because their influence requires to be hidden. Like, you can't do it in public or else it doesn't work. Like, it has to be, you know, it has to be the whisper. It can't be the
screen.
Sure,
where do you think this Iran thing is going to go?
I just think Iran's just got a lot richer. They can now charge everyone who goes through the strait. I think America is the good. I mean, the good news is I think a lot of we're going to be like not having as many bases in the Middle East. But just wizardry. I think they're going to, you know, part of me wants to just encourage Trump and be like, yeah, you did it, because that's the only way he can get out, is to have everyone
no,
be
I
like.
He, I said that 39 days going to start. I said he's going to need an exit now, or he'll keep doubling down. But look, the globalists aren't dumb. BlackRock is super happy now, says it's the cause of depression. They wanted to set him up to trigger this new decline in the economy, and because they knew how it was going to end. They knew the moolahs weren't going to fall. So, up above this, this was really about COVID 2.0. It's about a great reset.
Yeah, and there's wizards way above the Israelis. I mean, I think a lot of them don't have a long-term plan. They seem very reactionary to me, which seems counterintuitive, but...
Well, that's what Tucker said, reading all the different Epstein files. People, of course, attacked him. Oh, now you're covering for Israel. It's like, no, it's the Rothschilds and then some other big rich people and Epstein telling Israel what to do. That's what I kept explaining, folks. It's like Israel's like this detonator for all this. But then you got the Rothschilds that are anti-Netanyahu at one level, but really aren't. But you read that, and it's like Epstein was the Trilateral Commission in the chair of David Rockefeller that created it, and literally was way more powerful than I even thought. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of these Israelis that a lot of the people see as these all-powerful, you know, people, they're the lapdogs. They're the dogs on a leash, you know, and they're very easy to control because their appetites are so low. And I got a theory for you. This is not like a fact. This is just a theory. I think part of this might be a civil war in the Rothschild family, because there was, you know, the references to the Rothschilds in the release. You know, there has to be someone in the Rothschild family doing that, because they wouldn't allow that, you know? And so,
well, hold on, they're not, like you said, though, they're not all powerful. People don't know. The Rothschilds took over the British Empire. They already controlled all the major banks in Europe. Excuse me, at the Battle of Waterloo in 1815 or whatever it was, they said Britain had lost, that Lord Wellington had lost, the stock market crashed 99%, they bought it up. That's historical mainline history. So they now controlled the British Empire that was the dominant force in the world. And so then they got mega powerful. And so it really is a powerful inbred Jewish family that is the most powerful still. But it even shows at the end, they're so inbred and so down the line that their manager, their emissary was Jeffrey Epstein. And because he worked at that pedophile school with Bill Barr's dad, who wrote the books about raping kids, and how great it is, science fiction books about planets of slave children kidnapped from Earth, he then was brought in as a manager. And just like he was brought in as David's stand-in, trained by him in 1990, when he's 30-something years old, he's brought in, and he talks about all this. It turned out it's in the documents, and a lot of it was public. We weren't looking at it. He wasn't just working for David Rockefeller. He became the legate or the spokesman of him. And as he got older and older, and it just turns out once all the Rothschilds are inbred and been rich for dozens of generations, and same thing with the Rockefellers, Epstein was just, he was like the butler for these guys, but because they were all so decadent, he actually became them. He actually became the guy. It's wild. Like you said, the higher up you get, I know people, a lot of them, but also a lot of people that know a lot of people, and it's come up, the DuPonts, how they're all decadent and crazy and rich. They're almost all trannies or devil worshipers. Most of their kids commit suicide. It's like that for all these so-called elites. They are in hell. They are trying to project their own demonic sickness onto us. It's not just they want to hurt us, which they do. They're just trying to get us to drink the same poison they did.
100%. And it's like the love of money is the root of all evil. They're so inbred because they don't want to lose any money. That's why they marry their cousins and nieces and nephews and become like such freaks. And yeah, I think the elites would disappoint a lot of people. Like if you actually talk to them, they're not as smart as you think. They're not as, you know, powerful. They have crippling addictions. Their kids hate them. They're cursed. A lot of them are very, very cursed. And speaking of wizardry, think about how funny it is that Barr and Epstein, like that's what the herpes virus is called, Epstein-Barr. And I always just think little things like that are like little winks. There's comedy in this that you can't write, like Bernie Madoff with your money, Ellen DeGenerate, you know, Magic Johnson. It's like Epstein Barr. It happens over and over and over again, where it's almost like, you know, the Federal Reserve was started by a guy called Warburg. You know, it's almost like you get more wizard points if it says what you are in your name and people still agree with you, where it's like,
oh, that's lesser magic. They have to metaphysically tell you.
Yeah, totally. It's like, oh, I'm going on a date with Chad Rapeman, you know, it's like, Rapeman? It's like, yeah, rape man, or like Theftberg. And so I think, yeah, I think if your name says what you are, where it's like, you know, Bernie Madoff with your money, it's like, it, I think that they get more.
Yeah, but in all the cultures, take English, it's you're a miller. Well, you're a long line of people that mill grain. Or all the old names of everything, it says what your family was.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner, he loves showing you his penis. There's so many of them are named after Weiner. It's like that the head of the Olympics is named Dick Pound, you know? And I'm like, couldn't you just say Richard? Like his book, it says written by Dick Pound. And I'm like, why? And then I figured out that there is a sexualization to wizardry where to get these images and these words in your head where you don't really realize it. Like right now, two of the astronauts in Artemis are named Cox and Glover. And it's like Cox Glover. It's like, you know, you're like saying cock lover, you know? And I think that's part of it. That's why they're
also,
all shaped like penises.
Also, it's Moloch or Baal, the bull, is the symbol of Artemis.
Oh, interesting.
Did you see the Artemis 2 patch? You flip it, it's a bull. 100% Moloch.
Well, I mean, that's what our markets are. Like the bull and the bear is some ancient pagan stuff, you know, where it's like, here comes the bull, here's the bear. And as someone now, like doing animal husbandry has changed the way I see everything, because the wizards view us like animals and they're farming our consciousness with word spells, and they're doing crop rotation, our feed, you know, you have a feed trough, our feed is Twitter. Here's your feed for your consciousness, you know? And I think we're in a revelatory state, and the cards are being laid on the table, and everyone's seeing who really was wearing underpants and who wasn't. And kind of like what you said earlier about how I was warning people about this stuff 10 years ago, I feel a lot better now, because I used to be, I felt a lot more like ostracized. Like people would look at me like the way I saw the world was so insane. And now I don't have that tension as much. And so I just feel a lot more comfortable, you know, even though we're facing a lot of problems, I don't feel like there's as much tension with the world at large.
I agree with you. If the globalists don't blow us all up or release a real virus or whatever, I said this about 2-3 years ago. I said, I feel like my primary mission that people are going to awaken now on average, at least have their choice to make the right decision. And now I've got a lot of important work still to do, but we've kind of got to the top of the mountain. And
yeah, and keep your word, because trust is the hugest thing. Like if you can say something and people believe you, you're going to be Superman in the future.
That's right, because people are losing confidence in everything. But that is the problem. I'm sure you've seen this alternate history stuff where they go, look at this building in Detroit. It must be 1,000 years old. Humans didn't build it. They don't know you can go to the old historical societies or the libraries and find the books. Or, you know, they say, this courthouse isn't real. And I guess their families don't pass down the names or picture books of how great-great-grandpa helped build it. They don't understand that we've degenerated. They look at all this cool stuff we built, and they go, oh, there's no way that was us because we can't build it now. You know, they say today people couldn't even build D.C. We don't even have the craftsmen to build D.C. today.
Yeah, because I think it's a coping mechanism that it's like, well, how can you build that? These giant, you know, the Philadelphia City Hall, any brick, you can't even bring it in on a road. And so you think, oh, aliens, it must be, you know, another civilization. Or people were just really good at this stuff. You know, someone recently called me a Middle Ages peasant because I was, you know, making fun of NASA or something. And I showed the cathedral in Cologne. I'm like, thank you. Like, look at what they can build, you know? And I'm trying to reconnect with that part of my life where, you know, I had a great-grandfather that carved this bed that I slept in as a kid, and it was just so beautiful. I just remember looking at it almost like how people would look at a courthouse, like, is that an alien who did that? And it was like, oh no, it was your grandfather from, you know, from Switzerland or something. And I want to be more like that. I want to be more real, you know?
Absolutely. And then people are so inept, me too, compared to my ancestors when it comes to doing real stuff. They think that can't, we didn't do that.
And yeah.
Because they have no idea. All right, we'll be right back. You're going to host most of the next hour. I got some final news to hit. Stay with us.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylenestore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.